Thank you. Amen. I love what I feel in the house of God today. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Amen. I feel the goodness of Jesus in this place. Thank God for His mercy, for His grace. Thank you for standing. If you'll turn with me to the Word of God, I want to turn to John chapter 8. And as we turn there, I'd like to say thank you so much for the opportunity to pastor. And thank you, Great Church, Rehoboth Church, for the invitation to be here with you. It's such an honor. I could not wait to come back. This is one of my favorite places. I love the building. I love the worship. Love the people. Amen. I'm so glad that it worked out. John chapter 8, I want to start in verse number 2. Hallelujah. And early in the morning, speaking of Jesus, He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. He that is without sin, cast the first stone. The very one who could have cast the stone said, Neither do I condemn thee. The very one without sin, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't go back to where you came from. Go a different direction. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I don't know about you. Would you lift your hands to heaven? God, would you prepare my heart as this word goes forth? Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, I feel you. Would you just talk to Him? Come on. Pray a prayer of repentance right now. Make sure your heart is right and ready and your mind is ready to receive what God has in store for you today. Oh God, I don't want to miss what you're doing right this very moment, Lord. God, I didn't just come to the house to check off my list, Lord, of things to do today. But God, I came to hear a word from you. I came, Lord, to open up the secret places and the secret parts of my heart, Lord. I came, Lord, for you to deal with me. I came to experience your mercy, not your judgment, not your condemnation, but your mercy today. You are a God of mercy. I feel mercy in the house right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Come on, lift him up. Lift your hands. Lift your voice to heaven. Oh, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this house. To worship you, I live, Lord. To worship you, I live to worship you. Come on, is that your prayer? I worship you, Lord. To worship you, Lord, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Hallelujah, from the bottom of my heart, God. Oh, to worship you, Lord, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Yes, Lord. I'm here to worship you, Lord. Oh, yes, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. That's what I've come to do, Lord. With all my heart, I empty myself before you, Lord. To worship you, I live. To worship you. I live to worship you. Come on now, sing it again. From the bottom of your heart, would you lift your voice? Oh, yes, Lord, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. That's what I've come to do, Lord, with all my heart and soul, to worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for mercy, Lord. I live to worship you, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for your love right now that we feel. God, you're wrapping your arms around somebody today. It's not over, it's not over, it's just beginning. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. It's all right to entertain him right now. That's all right. Just to entertain him for a while. That's okay. Ooh, oh, ooh. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, ooh. Oh, oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you want to help me preach this morning, you can return to your seat. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning. When mess meets mercy. When mess meets mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brother Chris Browning. And I want to say you guys have a phenomenal team of worship and, of course, of your pastor. What a great word You guys are, I don't need to tell you, you're extremely, extremely blessed. Amen. When mess meets mercy. I was a two-year-old brat. I guess all two-year-olds are, aren't they? And my mom loves to tell the story that they woke up one morning and they couldn't find me anywhere in the house, and they began to panic until they heard a knock on the door. Mom ran to the door and answered, and there was a strange man holding me in my diapers. He said, "Is this your son?" She grabbed me out of his hands. "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, he was in my house today." I guess it was early. Nobody was up. I couldn't find any cereal in my house, and I wanted cereal. Now, I don't know. I don't have kids. I'm a single man. I'm not married. I don't know how this works, but it's hard for me to imagine that a two-year-old can walk out the door, walk across my lawn, the neighbor's lawn, and just see if their door was open, and it was. Go in there and find the kitchen and start banging around in some cabinets to see if I can find some cereal. It's hard for me to imagine a two-year-old can do that, but maybe some of you know those jokers can get out of hand. So they come running out. What is this commotion in our kitchen? And they see a baby in diapers. So Mom had to put a lock at the top of my door and lock me in my room so that I would not escape anymore and go raid somebody's cabinets for some cereal. What a mess. You know, we don't have to be taught how to make a mess. We can do that well. We don't have to be trained to make a mess. Not too many years later, I believe I was 4 years old, my mom was in the kitchen. She was cooking, and so she needed some butter. She opened the refrigerator, and the top lid was off of that, you know, the country crock or whatever. And she saw handprints in the butter, fingerprints. She said, "I think I recognize those fingerprints." So she called me in the kitchen, butter running down my face and my arms, all over my body. Apparently, I like to just grab a ball of butter and eat it. That's disgusting, folks. Mom said, "Joe, did you get in the butter?" "No, I didn't get in the butter." What a mess. Nobody had to train me to lie. Nobody had to train me to destroy things. You don't have to be disciplined to make a mess, but we do that all on our own, don't we? What a mess that we can make. You know those people that can pack a moving truck to the very inch? I mean, every inch is taken, every box in its rightful place, every piece of furniture. Isn't that amazing how some people can load up a U-Haul and use every inch of available space? Now, that's talent, folks. Don't hire me, because you'll be taking about five trips. Just throw it in there. But it's talent for somebody to put things together like that. Or how about somebody walking into an ugly place, an ugly room, say, "Man, no, you know what, this just isn't going to work out." But they can see in their mind's eye, it's not going to stay this way. I know how to put it together and make it beautiful. That's a talent, folks. Can I tell you, God specializes in that too, you know? God specializes in making something broken. He specializes in putting it back together again. God does that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of the book. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters," verse 2. And verse 4, "God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day,
And the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The earth was a mess. It was without form. It was void until it met the merciful hand of the Master. And just as that old song says, one pair of hands formed the mountains. One pair of hands formed the seas. One pair of hands formed the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, and the sands. Those hands are so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands healed the sick. One pair of hands raised the dead. One pair of hands calmed the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. I've come to bring great news to somebody today that what may look like an utter and hopeless and dismal mess. Can I tell you, God takes pleasure. He gets giddy with excitement. God loves to take broken things and put them back together again, honey. God loves. He takes pleasure in turning something so ugly and so messy into something beautiful. He delights in taking what is wrong and making it right. Give God the opportunity today, if you will, to do what he loves to do the most. He can see the end from the beginning. Your mess is a setup for God's miraculous power this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Come on. Has God turned your mess into something beautiful? Am I speaking to somebody today? Hallelujah. More than likely, this woman stood there. Exposed. Nothing to cover the guilt and the shame. I said nothing to cover her nakedness. She had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Sobbing as she realizes that her very choices that she made have led her down this road of regret. But little did she realize that her road of regret was about to intersect with a road of restoration. She just knew that the end was over. The end was near. It was about to be over. She couldn't wait for them to just get it over with. Just kill me now. Just take my life. I know that what I've done is wrong. I know that I have messed up. Caught in the very act. And she just knew that it was all over. Can you imagine as she trembles in fear with her head held low and she is shaking uncontrollably as her life it flashes before her eyes and she realizes that she's about to feel that very first stone hit her in the face. It wasn't worth it, she thought. If I had to do it all over again, I would make a different decision. I would make a different choice. I wouldn't make the same mistake again if I just had another chance to do it over again. And that sin that I gave into isn't worth the cost of my life. It really isn't. But that's exactly what it's going to cost me now. It's going to cost me my life, perhaps in that moment. Can you imagine? Folks, can you imagine? Perhaps in that moment, as those leaders who cared nothing about her soul, they didn't care about her. They wanted to witness a death. In that moment, I can just see her trembling in fear, thrown down before the feet of Jesus Christ. Anybody been there before? I made such a mess. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Maybe she could think back to the stories that she heard of the mercy of God and think there's no mercy for me today. There's no hope. But I just know, I remember there was a king one time. There was a king who was a man after God's own heart. I just remember that he made a terrible mistake. Not only did he commit adultery, but he murdered somebody. Oh God. And maybe she sobs and her words are unrecognizable. But maybe she begins to pray that prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Maybe nobody could understand the words, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know, O God, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, the sacrifices of God. She said it this morning in the Holy Ghost. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Oh God, can I tell you, as some of us have been doing it all wrong, that we've been keeping that secret back, that we've been hanging on to that we know that we really need to let God deal with. We've just been holding back because we're scared. But we won't quit coming to church, and we won't keep paying our tithes and our offerings, and we know some things to do right, and so we feel like we're sacrificing, and we're just trying to put that shame and that guilt behind us. Can I tell you that the Lord has come to deal with that today? That God has come to deal with that today. He's not here to hurt you. He's not here to embarrass you. He's not here to shame you. He's not here to guilt you. He's here to offer you a hand of mercy and tell you, I love you, my child, and that you can do this, that you're an overcomer, that all you have to do is plead my forgiveness, and all you have to do is say, God, forgive my heart. Come on, all you have to do is be honest with me. Be open before me. Oh God, can I tell you, can I talk to you this morning that every other sacrifice really is just worthless? It's just worthless. If we're not dealing with what we know that God is on our heart and our conscience about, that every other sacrifice is meaningless, that God cannot even hear our prayers, He cannot even see our giving. Everything that we do, it's for naught if we don't let God deal with what He wants to deal with this morning. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying this morning. Come on, somebody. But when your mess meets God's mercy, can I tell you He's ready to set up the miraculous in your life? Can I tell you He's ready to perform the miracles in your life that you're waiting on if you will just be open before Him this morning? Oh God, in an act of absolute mercy, when she knew it's about to be over, in an act of absolute mercy, in an act of unparalleled grace, Jesus Christ stands to His feet, looks at those leaders and said, I want you to cast the first stone if you're without sin. I can just picture silence as the words of Jesus Christ just cut to the heart of her accusers, and they freeze. They're paralyzed. Jesus loves to take your mess and turn it into a ministry. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ loves to take broken fragments and turn them into food to feed 5,000 followers? Can I tell you, Jesus specializes in taking my brokenness and making something beautiful. Don't forget, somebody, that Peter was a betrayer, that Paul was a murderer, that Jacob was a liar, a deceiver, a supplanter. Come on, don't forget that Jonah ran from God. He was rebellious. That David, as I said earlier, was a murderer and an adulterer. But when his mess met God's mercy, I said when his mess met God's mercy, I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody today that God's done anything for you. I don't know about you. I don't know the pit that he dug you from, but I know where God found me. I know where God found me and picked me up out of that muck in the mire and said, I'm not here to leave you all alone. I'm not here to leave you in front of the accusers to be stoned to death, but I'm here for you, my child, to wrap my arms around you, to tell you it's okay, to give you a brand new start. It's a new chapter. It's a turning of a page. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Come on, give him some praise. Come on, give him some high praise. Hatalabahakita. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the power of God here. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Can I tell you, that's how David, King David, was able to pin those words, Psalm 103. Oh, God, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Somebody hear it this morning. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Come on, somebody. The Holy Ghost is ministering today. I'm telling you, the Word of God is speaking to you today. It will not return void. It will set out to accomplish that which it is purposed to do. But it's up to you. It's up to you to receive the mercy and grace of God today. He said in verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his mercy unto children's, his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost right now that God is here to minister to your heart today and say, my child, it is not over. It is not. I don't care what the devil's been lying to you. I don't care what circumstances are trying to dictate to you. I don't care what other people are trying to tell you. I don't care what that lying devil is whispering in your ear this morning. It is from the pit of hell. And God said, get up, get up. I don't condemn you. Go on and go a different path. Don't sin anymore. Realize my grace and my mercy in your life. Oh, I don't know. I know somebody has experienced his mercy this morning. I know I'm not just preaching to somebody who doesn't know the mercy of God, but I know where he dug me out of. I know he could have left me in that pit, but he decided, I love you, my child. I came for you. Oh, praise God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm not nervous. I'm not anxious. I'm fine right here where the Holy Ghost is. I want the Lord to minister. I want you to open your heart right now and allow the Lord to do his work. Oh, God, you're not on a time clock, because God, I'm here for you. You came for me. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Huh.
But you don't have to if you realize the mercy of God. That's all right. You're not interrupting me. You're not bothering me. You're not interrupting a thing. You just go ahead. I thank you for mercy, God. But can I tell you, I don't care what you hear from the religious world. I don't care what you hear from people. If there's only one way to receive God's mercy. It's not a fairy tale type of sprinkling of grace. And you know, you just fall and you just do whatever you want. Once saved, always saved. You're going to heaven. You can just sin. You can just do whatever you want. Live your life and party it up. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But the mercy of God is so much greater than that. It's so much more powerful than that. See, that way that I just explained, that's a cheap way. That cheapens the grace and the mercy of God. His mercy is not like that. But there's one way to receive the mercy of God, and that is accountability. That is to confess before God what we have done. Only one way to receive His mercy. In all of her shame and all of her guilt, she was accountable. She stood there naked, exposed. Maybe, hopefully, she was able to grab a bed sheet. But she was in that place. Everybody knew what she did. She could not hide her sin from Jesus Christ. Whether you are willingly allowing accountability into your life or unwillingly, maybe she was dragged and thrown. I imagine she did not want to go there. She knew she was going to die. But little did she realize that Jesus was going to offer mercy. Whether it's a willing accountability or an unwilling accountability, the point is you've got to be accountable before God. You must confess before God. You see, her accusers thought they were dragging her to her death. But little did they know, they were dragging her to the feet of the only one that could do anything about it. You're in this house today. You may think it's by coincidence. You may think it's by accident that you're here. You may think I made the decision to come to the house of God. No, the Spirit of God was drawing you before you even realized it. As you woke up this morning, come on, come to my house. I've got something for you. The mercy of God was drawing you all along. He was pulling on you, saying, come on, my child. I love you. Not here to embarrass you. Not here to degrade you. But here to pick you up and show you I love you. And I'm here to offer you mercy and grace. It's here this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost anointing that destroys the yoke. It's in this place right now. Somebody come on, give him some praise. Thank you, God, for showing up. Thank you, God, for giving me a divine appointment and showing up on time, right when I needed you. Oh, God. But it's accountability that leads to mercy. You can't have mercy without accountability. Proverbs 28:13 said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That means you will not go forward. You will not move in a forward direction. He that covers his sins stays where he's at and goes backwards. He cannot prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, don't tell me she wasn't sitting there in front of his feet saying, God, if I just had one more chance, if I could just do it over again, I'd make a different decision. Come on, get up, get up, get up, get up. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise God. Jesus told the religious leaders of that day, I can't do anything for you. Are you kidding me? You're going to go to Zacchaeus' house, that known sinner, that rank sinner. You're going to go to his house and break bread with him. And Jesus turned around and snapped and said, you know what? I didn't come for you. I didn't come for those who think they're well, who think they're okay, who think everything's cool, who think everything's good. I didn't come for you. Those that are well don't need a physician, but they that are sick, that's who needs me. And I came for the sick, and I came for the broken, and I came for the lost, and I came for the bound, and I came for the discouraged, and I came to heal every heart. Oh, God. He said, you guys are beautiful whited sepulchers on the outside. You look real good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. He said, I don't have time for that. My God, I don't have time for the Pharisee who stands in the temple and says, God, I pay my tithes and I come to your house and I fast and I pray and I'm not like this rank publican sinner over here beating his chest and crying out for mercy. No, I'm not a sinner like that. And God said, I'm not even hearing you. I don't even hear your prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, God, that's a big if. That's a big if. Oh, God. If, and only if you humble yourself first. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saveth such which be of a contrite spirit. That's it. If the Lord, I'm real simple, folks. They call me Slow Joe. I'm real simple. If the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, what does that tell me? He's far away from those who got it all together. If you're not brokenhearted this morning, or you're not near somebody who is brokenhearted, ministering to them, helping them, loving them, if you're not near to the brokenhearted or you're not brokenhearted yourself, God is nowhere near you this morning. But God's looking for somebody who said, I don't care about my pride. I have no pride. I want relationship with you, God. I want eternity with you, God. I want more than that. I want the best life here on earth. I don't want to beat my head against the wall anymore. I don't want to go through the motions anymore. I don't want to lay my head on the pillow at night and be miserable anymore. But I need your presence, God. Don't you see this morning? It's that thing that has weighed on your conscience for so long now. It's that heaviness. It's that burden. It's that fear, that depression that you've been hanging on to for so long now. But you've been listening. You've been entertaining the lies of the enemy for long enough, telling you there's no way that you can confess what you have done. You'll be shamed. You'll be disgraced. You'll be humiliated in front of the crowd. That's what the enemy's lying to you this morning. He's breathing down your neck, falsehood. Don't entertain the lies of the devil anymore. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is here to offer mercy, but you must confess. Can I tell you what else the presence of Jesus offers? When you confess, excuse me, you're not touching my girl. She's mine. Hands off. Unless you haven't sinned. If you're perfect, then go ahead and stone her. But what her standing open and exposed in front of the crowd offered her was the protection of the almighty hand of God. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. The devil's saying, no, you'll be a failure. You'll be a loser. Everybody's going to talk about you. Everybody's going to condemn you. People are going to want to stone you and kill you. But can I tell you, the hand of God is here to offer protection. Get your hand off my child. That's my child. That's my child. I bought them with my blood. That's my child. I died on the cross for them. Hands off. But that doesn't come without accountability. That doesn't come without confession. That doesn't come without repentance. Oh, I love the talk. They say it every time I hear somebody preach about this message. What about the man? She was caught in the very act of adultery, and she was dragged to the feet of Jesus. We get off topic, folks. I don't care about the man. Why do you care about the man? Does the man relate to you? No, I relate to this woman because, God, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm in your presence. I want your mercy. Can I tell you, that man did not receive God's mercy that day. Oh. Hear me now. Oh, they let the man go. As I say, the worst of circumstances, the man was stoned to death right there, but they dragged the woman to the feet of Jesus. Okay, he didn't receive God's mercy if he was stoned. But more importantly than that, my God, go free. We're going to take this lady. You go free. We're going to pardon you. And the man gets off scot-free, gets to live his life. No problem. But guess what? He didn't receive God's mercy. And he's running, and he's running, and he's running, and he will forever run. Because until you come into the presence of Jesus Christ, the only one who can pardon your sin, the only one that can do something about what you have done, until you come into his presence and are accountable before him and repent of your sins, you're just running. You're running. He laid his head down at night, miserable, each and every day of his life, until hopefully one day, I don't know what happened to the man, hopefully he found Jesus. But until then, he wasn't receiving mercy. If you think you're running, you got off scot-free and everything's cool and nobody really knows about that issue in my life, you're not getting anywhere, folks. You're not free. That's bondage. That's not freedom. I'm going to tell you, freedom is in the presence of Jesus Christ. Freedom and liberty is in the presence of God Almighty. No matter what you have done, no matter what mistake you've made, no matter how far you've gone, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what people say. I don't care what all of the demons in hell say. That no matter what you've done, Jesus Christ is here to offer you mercy. Today. That's all you have to do is be accountable to him today. In the name, lift your hands up, church. Come on, close your eyes. Come on, talk to the Lord. I'm ready to quit running, God. I'm ready to quit doing my own thing, God. Come on, I'm ready to repent of my sins. I'm ready, God, to pour my heart out before you. I'm ready to stop listening to the lies of Satan. I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, God, I'm not leaving here the same way that I came. I'm not walking out these doors running again. But, God, you're here to deal with me. You sent this man who knows nothing about my situation. You came to deal with me today, God. Your word will not return void. It will accomplish its purpose in my life. You're not just going to have a church, God, but you're going to have a church with me in it. I'm bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer running. I'm no longer going to fear the lies of the enemy. God is here to forgive you, not to embarrass you. All you have to do is ask for it. He's here to set you free. And all you have to do is say, I don't care about my pride anymore. I'm shoving that aside. He's here to offer mercy. It's not over. It's not over. I feel the Holy Spirit speaking those words loud and clear in the building today. It's not over. It's not over. Your mess may be big, but my mercy is so much bigger. Your mess may feel insurmountable, but all it takes is one encounter with a master and the mercy that your soul has been desperate for all this time. You're going to receive it. Come on, somebody, right where you're at, right in your pew, with those tears streaming down your face. That's all right. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, God, I'm here to receive your mercy. I'm not here to run from you. Oh, God, it may feel a little bit uncomfortable at first. I know that when you break that bread, God, it may hurt just a little bit at first. But you're not here, God, to tear me down. You're here to build me up. Somebody's going to leave brand new today. Somebody's going to leave filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Somebody's going to leave refilled. Somebody's going to leave free today. Those chains of bondage are going to fall to the ground. Somebody is going to experience life-giving freedom in the name of Jesus Christ today. Oh, praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet right now? Holy Ghost is here. So what does it require to receive God's mercy today? What does it require of me? Each and every one of us in this place today, please, under the sound of my voice, the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. Each and every one of us, it takes repentance. The Lord spoke to me and said, I can do anything when somebody repents. I can do anything. My miracle working power is greater than anything in this world. And I can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I can heal somebody's body of cancer. I can do anything if somebody is willing to repent. That's what the Holy Ghost said to me. Can I tell you, we may be looking for healing today in the building. We may be wanting the Holy Ghost power to fall on us. That will happen when each and every one of us come to an altar of repentance. Because, Lord, I'm laying my life down. This is a baseline. And I love the Lord. You're not coming to him on different terms. I don't care who you are. I don't care if your name is Donald Trump. I don't care who you are. You come to God the same way. I come to him the same way. You come to him the same way. In repentance, in brokenness, in confession. I'm a sinner. I've done no good. Nothing in me is good, God. Anything about me that is good is all because of you. I'm here, God. I repent. Would you come? Come on, would each and every one, would you step out of your pew? Would you come as the music begins to play? anything can happen. If you need the Holy Ghost today, don't leave without it. All you have to do is repent of your sins. And when you ask God to forgive you, when you confess, I'm telling you, He's here to fill you with His Spirit. After you confess your sin, you lift your hands to heaven high and say, thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, God, for your blood that covers me. When everybody else wants to accuse me and stone me, God, you don't. You don't condemn me. Come on, lift your hands all over the building right now. Come on, let's pray a prayer of repentance. Come on, do something you've never done before in order to get something you've never gotten before. You want the mercy of God? You want to experience the power of God? Let's come on, reach out. That's it, young man. Come on, reach out to God this morning. The Holy Ghost is here. God's power, His anointing is here. It's a message of hope. It's a message of deliverance. It's a message of blessing. But you must do your part. I must do my part. Oh, praise God. Halabahakata. Come on, you must be willing to forgive everybody else. Anybody that's ever done you wrong. Come on, you want the forgiveness of God? You say, God, I release every feeling of bitterness, every feeling of hurt. God, I let that person go. I offer them, I extend a hand of forgiveness and mercy to them because I want you to have mercy on me. Come on, that's it. Come on, I give it to you, God. Open up the secret places of my heart. Come on in. Those places I never let anybody in. Come on in today. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Church member, if you know somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, would you help me pray? If you need the Holy Ghost this morning, why don't you wave your hand at me? I'm going to come pray with you. Yes, I'm going to come pray with you. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you with the Holy. Yes, God wants to fill you with the Spirit. Come on, let's begin to pray. Come on, let's begin to repent and empty ourselves before Him. I'm sorry, God. Forgive my heart. I love a hokita. Oh, the mercy of God is here. Come on, talk to Him in your own words. You got to lift your voice up to Him. Come on, He wants to hear your words. Come on, it's confession time. He wants to hear your words. Halabahakita. Come on, don't close your mouth. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. He's gonna take over your tongue. You're going to speak in another language you've never learned before, but you have to open your mouth. That's it, open your mouth. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me for every thought. Forgive me for every word. Forgive me for every action, everything I've ever done that has hurt you or hurt others. God, but I am not going there anymore. I'm going to get up and go a different direction. God, I want to realize your mercy today. Oh, God. Oh, the Holy Spirit is here. Oh, yes. Come on, pray with me, church. Lift up your voice now. Come on, lift up your voice.